Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, September 23rd, 2015. On the line with me is Dr. Dan Green. He's a licensed psychologist, served as clinical director of New Life Resources, Inc. in Waukesha, Wisconsin, 28 years as an outpatient medical health clinic with 23 professional staff who profess faith in Christ. Faculty appointments include Trinity International University, Elmbrook Christian Study Center, Wisconsin Center for Christian Study, Marquette University, and the Evangelical Theological Seminary of Prague, Czech Republic. Married 36 years to Lynn, with a son, daughter, and son-in-law, and two grandchildren. Reading from 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, and I know some of our Great News Radio listeners, this is one of your favorite verses or a passage that has struck a chord in your heart and mind maybe for many years, but let me read from 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. How many amens are going on right now, Great News Radio listener? Are you a part of the chorus that's saying, yay, God, because of his love? Well, on the line with me is Dr. Dan Green, and I asked you, Dan, what was maybe one of your favorite verses or passages or something that you go to in a time of reflection, and you chose this verse. Tell our Great News Radio listener why.
Oh, it's great to be with you today. This passage has been a favorite of mine since about a year and a half before I got married. I was doing some backpacking mountaineering in Oregon. My wife was traveling with a choir from college in Europe. And I'd sent her a letter saying that I'm going to be gone for 3 weeks, not sure what the future holds, might stay out here, don't know what that means for our relationship. And then I disappeared for 3 weeks. I was pretty immature at the time. But when I got back from that time out in the wilderness, there was a letter with this passage in it. She identified in writing to me that God's not bound by time. She was praying for me, and that she was holding on to this verse, that there is no fear in love, and that we love because he first loved us. And that was her primary source of love, and that she was just praying for me during that time. That hit me. So we had this read at our wedding. And my college roommate was preparing for seminary, and I asked him to read at our wedding, and he got up and, with his best future pastor voice, read it as follows. He read, "There is no love in fear, but perfect fear drives out love, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." And I'm thinking, oh, no, the wedding's ruined. Nobody caught it, but it's on the tape. So, and this is back in the era of reel-to-reel tape. It is on the tape. And I've really seen that God gave that to me. Fear blocks love. Love conquers fear. And when we recognize that God is the source of love, we don't have to create it. We only need to receive it and distribute it. And so I hang on to this passage.
Well, and that marriage ceremony took root because 36 years removed now, you're still happily married to Lynn with a son and daughter. Actually, your daughter married, I guess, about 8 or 9 or 10 years ago, has two children that are even at your home this very moment. So we appreciate you carving out some time away from the grandbabies.
Good to be with you.
Well, you're coming to town. In fact, it's this Friday and Saturday, the first of 3 weekends you're going to devote to teaching on forgiveness and reconciliation. And this is one of your favorite class topics. You have been quoted as saying, "I often refer to forgiveness as the remedy for the unacceptable." What do you mean by that?
There's a press in our culture to tolerate, to accept everything. And there are many things that we ought to accept that are just preference issues. But when there's a wrong, it's wrong. It's not acceptable. When someone has been truly wronged, they've been betrayed, they've been hurt, they've stolen from, lied to, we can't accept it. There's something inside of us that just yells out, no, it ought not be this way. And, you know, I recognize we were designed for the Garden of Eden. We're not designed for the sinful world. That's something that happened a bit later. We're designed for, as it says in Genesis 2, naked and not ashamed, to be fully open, to be fully known and to know others in this deep way. Well, with the advent of sin, that's not possible. We need it. We're still designed for it. But the wrongdoings wound and hurt us. And since we can't accept it, we need a different remedy, a different strategy for dealing with this. And this is the strategy of forgiveness, where we look, as Lewis Smedes wrote, we look right in the eye of the wrong, we call it for what it is, and then offer forgiveness, a release from that. We forgive the person. We don't overlook the wrongdoing. We forgive the person who has done the wrong.
And as a licensed psychologist and serving many times in many places as a clinical director, I know of the New Life Resources, Inc. In Waukesha, Wisconsin for many years, you've seen the damage that people that haven't reconciled or worked through forgiveness, I mean, you've seen firsthand the damage it can do to someone.
The absence of forgiveness results in resentment. If a person does not forgive, resentment will build. It's just a natural process. And since we all have been wronged, and we all both need forgiveness and need to forgive others, the consequences affect not only the person themselves, but it is damaging to relationships, it's damaging to physical health, it's damaging to the individual's ability even to process information, to have good attention, things like that. The absence of forgiveness is very, very destructive.
But say a listener's tuned in right now and they're saying, but Dr. Dan, Dr. Green, you don't understand. You don't know what has happened to me. I deserve to be angry. I deserve to hold on to this. What would you say to them?
That forgiveness does not ignore the reality of the wrongdoing, does not ignore the need for justice. But there's a series of old sayings, and it's manifest in a couple of different ways. But in essence, it says that the absence of forgiveness is like taking poison and expecting the other person to die. That when we don't forgive, it is a poison in us that is destroying us. Holding on to resentment really doesn't impact the other person. It damages the person with the resentment. We need a remedy to release that.
And where do we begin with this remedy? I mean, somebody that's right now that they're tuning in, they're on their way to work, they just feel like they've been dealt a bad hand, if you will. Life hasn't gone the way they expected. How do they begin this process? Is there some simple ABCs, maybe just for them to begin to digest, to ponder about, to think through? Because there is hope and there is great healing. And then when that forgiveness starts and the reconciliation takes place, they can really flourish and bloom and grow and develop and be all that God wants them to be.
Yes, forgiveness allows us to release these burdens, burdens that were put on us by the wrongdoing of others or burdens that we put on ourselves from our own wrongdoing. The first step in forgiveness is just being real. What has happened? What is wrong? What is unacceptable? And then when I recognize what is wrong, how does that impact me? Now, what have the consequences been? The consequences maybe in relationships, the consequences in opportunities, the emotional consequences. Sometimes it's anger. Usually it will include that, but it will also include hurt and sadness and fear and shame. The first steps in forgiveness is being real about what has happened. From there, we want to look at the one who wronged us. We like to think of them as a monster, typically. We often see them as someone, as you know, they bad, me hurt and wounded, but good. But the reality is for all of sin and fallen short of the glory of God. Part of the forgiveness process moves us to recognize the reality of the other person, the one who wronged me, is like me. I am like them. I may have not have done what they did. I've done other things. But we've all sinned and fallen short. And so the forgiveness process takes and puts into application Jesus' words to love others as we love ourselves, to bring love into that relationship. From there, we can look at giving them the gift of forgiveness. It's unearned. It's not deserved. Forgiveness comes from the forgiver. It's not about what the forgiving person does, the one that we're going to forgive. The forgivee, if you will, doesn't deserve it. It's always a gift given by the forgiver. Just as God has forgiven us, we can take that and we can now forgive the other.
Mm-hmm.
And then once that commitment's made to forgive, then we live it out. So from that point going forward, we can look back anytime we're reminded of it and going, yes, that was wrong, and it's forgiven. And I live it out. I release each time I'm reminded of it going forward. Now, this process can take moments or it can take a considerable amount of time. The commitment to move through forgiveness, though, is what I see God calling us to do.
Hmm. That verse, and I can't remember the passage, maybe you're familiar with it, but I think it's one of Jesus' teaching where he goes, those that have been forgiven much, love much.
Yes.
And I love that, and the beauty in that, some haven't come to the point where all of us have been forgiven so much, it's incredible. I mean, yeah, there's murderers, there's serial killers, there's certain people that, yeah, they maybe sinned, if you will, you know, a great deal, but in reality, we all have, because of our thought life, poor choices, the self-centeredness. I mean, all that, if you put it on a scale, is a tremendous amount of sin. And yet God has forgiven us of all that as we've accepted his forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're all greatly forgiven.
He has forgiven us more than we will ever be called to forgive another person.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm sure you've seen that manifest itself as people come to terms with. I like how you put it, where you first just kind of identify, yeah, there's anger. You've been harmed. You've been sinned against. There's legitimacy to, you know, working out that anger. It's just to do it in a healthy way. Have you oftentimes maybe referred people to the Psalms where, like David, works through?
Yes. Absolutely. It fascinates me that God wants us to know how that human working through occurs.
Mm-hmm.
So many of the Psalms, the first third half of them is the working through, the angst, agony at times.
Mm.
And then the last part is connecting with the big picture, with the truth and the reality, and pulling it all together. And that's what we have to do in our real lives.
Well, you're coming to town this Friday and Saturday, the first of three weekends where you're putting on a class entitled Forgiveness and Reconciliation. I think it's considered PM 605. So it's kind of like an advanced course with the Urbana Theological Seminary here in Urbana. What would the listener expect to learn or understand? Or I guess this is your chance. Why would you pitch this class? I don't want to put it in those terms, but what would the listener gather or glean or learn by attending these weekends?
Well, the great news listener is going to have an opportunity to participate in an academic class that's extremely practical and applicable to not only ministry activities or a general understanding of theology and psychology and how they work together, but also for one's personal life. Because when we're studying forgiveness, I need it.
Mm.
Every one of us needs it. The class can be taken for graduate credit, working towards a degree, or can be taken in audit status, where the audit student participates in the same way as the other students, but is not required to do the academic paper writing and that type of thing that comes with its own demands.
Mm-hmm.
So it's common for some of the students to be in the credit and others to be auditing, and all of us working together to develop a deeper understanding of forgiveness and reconciliation.
Hmm. Yeah, for our Great News Radio listeners, if this is perking your interest and you want to know a little more, you can stop by urbanaseminary.org, urbanaseminary.org. I just looked through this, go to course schedule, click on fall, and then practical ministry as you scroll down, and you'll see forgiveness and reconciliation, 605. Dr. Dan Green, he's the instructor, and it'll be covering three weekends, this Friday and Saturday, basically Friday night from 6 to 9 p.m., and then Saturday, September 26th, this Saturday from 9 to 4. And then it'll be next month, October 23rd and 24th, the same time, 6 to 9 p.m. on the Friday night and 9 to 4 on the Saturday. And then you'll take a little break because that's Thanksgiving time, and then it'll return December 4th and 5th, again Friday night, December 4th, 6 to 9, and then Saturday the 5th from 9 to 4 p.m. And again, you can find out more at urbanaseminary.org, urbanaseminary.org. And I love your sense of humor, Dr. Green, because as I asked you a little more information, you put that the dean of the Urbana Theological Seminary, Dr. Melanie Green, is your little sister. And then you put a little line, so for this course, she'll be my boss. I suspect that this has been a lifelong dream of hers. I really appreciated that. So tell us. Go ahead.
I'm really enjoying putting this together, working with her and Dr. Cuffey. It'll be fun to be around in her world for these weekends.
Yeah, we have a wonderful Great News Radio listening group that likes to continue to grow that sanctification process. God doesn't just have us come to Christ and then we just go to church and then everything just works out. He allows us with parachurch ministries and like the seminary and various classes that are offered throughout the area to increase our understanding of the Christian faith. And I appreciate the title of this class that you're presenting, Forgiveness and Reconciliation. It should ring a chord in really all of us, right? I mean, this is something we deal with our whole lives.
Yes, and we have been called to do it. It's actually an act of obedience to our Lord to address the wrongdoing through forgiveness and, if possible, reconciliation. It's not only good for us, it's obedience to our Lord.
Well, Dr. Green, I know you have a special kind of a personal calling to prepare Christian leaders, pastors, and mental health professionals to serve in the post-Christian culture. Talk a little about that.
The world that we live in has been greatly influenced by a Christian belief system, but has clearly moved well past sharing those values and perspectives. That's very true with my work in Europe, but it's becoming more and more true here in the States. As Christians, we need to be well grounded in understanding how God's truth truly impacts real life. Can't be just theoretical. It has to be very practical and applied in order to have love manifested in ways that make sense or actually impact people. You know, Jesus dealt with hungry people. He dealt with people that were ill. He dealt with real needs of people. And the gospel is meant for that as well.
Now, if you personally were praying up this class that'll be held this Friday and Saturday and then the subsequent October and December dates, and you were going to like ask God to bless it, to work in and through you, what do you hope that those attendees will leave the class like learning or grappling with or proficient at?
There's sort of two-prong approach here. I would desire that they would be well-equipped to teach how to forgive to others. The research has shown that the primary reason people don't forgive is they don't know how, and that we can help them with. So that the students will be equipped to teach to others and to facilitate for others, but also, very important, that the students will recognize those places in their lives where they've not brought forgiveness into the story. And for them to have profound forgiveness experiences for themselves, and that, as one of the researchers has written, that we live a forgiving life, that forgiveness is an ongoing part of how we apply love in this fallen world.
Dr. Green, can you talk a little about reconciliation, or maybe even define it, or how would it best play out?
Forgiveness requires the forgiver to give the gift of forgiveness to the one who needs it. But reconciliation requires both parties to become vulnerable and to enter into a new relationship in light of what's happened. And sometimes people are afraid to forgive because they believe it'll be impossible to reconcile. And we really don't know until the forgiveness is in process. But it is possible that the person who has been wrong may forgive, and yet reconciliation will not occur because the other person, the one who did the wrong, may not be willing to reconcile. I am really encouraged, though, that the way God has designed this system, we are not in bondage to the one who would refuse to reconcile. It may be sad, but we can still live in a forgiving way towards that person.
Well, speaking of forgiveness and being married to Lynn for these past 36 years, and I know so many of our Great News Radio listeners are married, give us some quick nuts and bolts on forgiving a spouse or someone, you know, in the family that has maybe bruised you recently.
Well, Lynn has been just a wonderful life partner for me. I just enjoy sharing life with her. And we've learned that neither one of us are our ideal. We're not how we would imagine our perfect spouse to be, but rather as we continue to get to know each other, to bring grace, to see the humanity, the struggle, and when a wrong has occurred, to own it, confess it, and for the other to recognize, you are like me, I'm like you. Take that forgiveness God has given and give it as a gift to the other. And keep a clean slate. You know, we're not to let anger go down and the sun go down while we're angry. Address things right as they come up. That is so helpful.
Yeah, I heard once at a workshop, your spouse is not the enemy. You know, it's a good reminder once in a while. That's right. We're a team. She or he is not the enemy. We've got to work together and work it through.
That is right. And that is how we learned about love. I sometimes think that marriage is the laboratory of love. God said, get it in it. Don't quit. Learn how to love and be loved. And that's what Lynn and I are engaged in, learning how to love and be loved.
Well, Dr. Green, we anticipate your arrival this Friday and Saturday, and I'd encourage our Great News Radio listeners to find out more by stopping by urbanaseminary.org. urbanaseminary.org. The special 3-weekend classes are called Forgiveness and Reconciliation. They begin this Friday night from 6 to 9 p.m. and then Saturday from 9 to 4 p.m. And you can find out more and get registered at urbanaseminary.org. urbanaseminary.org. And we'll look forward to your coming to our area. And thank you, Dr. Green, for being available for today's edition of Mark and Friends.
Thank you for having me. I've enjoyed this.
All right, Great News Radio listener, forgiveness and reconciliation. God requires that of all of us, and He's certainly shown His love towards us by providing this avenue, this way, this method for us to be reconciled with Him. To find out more about the special forgiveness and reconciliation class, you can stop by urbanaseminary.org, urbanaseminary.org. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.